morning. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And tonight is going to be a really, really great show. I thought I would dress up for you. You know, I've got my cute dress on, right? And it's long. It's Victorian. I like to wear really long dresses because they hit the floor and they sweep. They sweep the streets. It gives me this feeling of being Victorian. I don't know what that's about, but it's just one of my things. The longer, the better. And it sweeps the floor. So today is a beautiful day. Apparently, it's going to rain for the next 3 days.
Oh, man.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with the weather these days. It's absolutely driving me mad. And I am British. I am allowed to speak about the weather. That's what we do. So tonight we're going to have a wonderful show. I have Robin Gelfenbein. I said it.
You did.
I remember I used to have a hard time saying that.
Everybody does.
We're like, Gelfenbein, Gelfenbein, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Robin Gelfenbein, she is an old client of mine. And Robin allowed me to cut my teeth as a personal life coach on her life. And look at her. She's wonderful.
Well, thanks.
So
you're Robin, not so bad yourself.
I know. And Robin came to me and she wanted to be a comedian. Remember that? And today, guess what she is? She is a comedian and a storyteller. And a lot of her activities that she actually has manifested and materialized in her life came out of conversations. Yum's the word. You love birthday cake and you liked ice cream and you made it happen. So I just want to welcome you to the show.
Thanks,
I'm really
so
excited to have you. I'm actually proud.
You should be.
To have you on the show.
Aww.
Because it's like, you know, my being a coach was a dream and an idea that I had. And Robin came to me when I was in NYU doing my training. And she was a pro bono client who worked with me for what, a couple of weeks, 7 weeks, and then eventually said, Noreen, when can I pay you for this? And we worked together for a while.
Well, I was very open to the idea of continuing to pay you, but yeah.
Yes. And so I was just sharing with Robin that I'm also working with another woman that I have been working with who was a pro bono client of mine, and I'm still working with her today. And that was from 2005.
That's incredible.
So it's like she has had like a 180 degree shift in her whole life.
That's phenomenal.
And, you know, when I first started out as a coach and the thought of having somebody work with me for 13 years was not even a possibility. It's like, why would somebody work with me for 13 years? I mean, are they just going to get what they get and go, right? Some people do. Some people stay. And but what I realize is that it's ongoing. You're ongoingly changing in your life. You're ongoingly taking on new topics, new ideas, new ways of being, new relationships, all that kind of stuff. And it makes sense, you know, because you have a partner in this discovery and this journey that we're on that helps you to fulfill on the things that you have fulfilled on. So anyway, less of me and let's talk to Robin about life. So Robin,
like
welcome to the
about
show.
You. We spoke for so long that I felt like all I did was talk. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting to have the tables turned and listening to you. I have a lot of questions for you.
Well, it's an interplay, right?
So, sure. Can I ask you one thing? When you were saying you never envisioned anybody working with you for 13 years, did you have like a time in mind when you started out? Like if I could work with somebody for 2 months, that would be a dream, or did that not even factor in
because
new clients?
What I had was that I worked with a client for about a year and then they would move on and do something else. And but I really didn't want to actually have a person sign up for a year because I wanted to always give them the freedom to like move on, because I find that coaching, unlike therapy, if you're not getting the results, then you should leave.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not getting the results that you are paying for, you should move on. Whereas with therapy, it's ongoing, and it's just, you know, clearing the rummage and stuff that's going on in your head. Not that that's bad. You know, it works, but coaching is more action-oriented and that you have to see a result at the end of the relationship, whether it be 3 months, whether it be a month, there has to be a result, right?
Sure.
So, no, I didn't really have a plan. My job was to just learn as much. And how I knew I was learning was you were getting results. You were taking actions. You were facing the things that you came to me to say you want to work on, right? And so in working with a client for 13 years, you get to see like them. It's like having a child, really.
I bet.
You get to see them grow in ways that – they didn't even know was possible. Mm-hmm. And like I always say, I never give my clients anything. What I help them to see is their own eyeballs. I help them to reflect on, to make commitments, to make promises to themselves, to have themselves be accountable, mm-hmm. you know, and then take the steps to have the life that they want. And it's so awesome. And over the time with me coaching, I can say that my skills have gotten finer.
Oh, I'm sure.
And the results...
If they didn't, I would be concerned.
Oh, I'd be concerned to hang up the shingle, right? Yeah. And it now people get results faster, deeper, and it's just great. And it's really nice when a client says, we're getting to the end of the 3 months. Oh, God, I need to re-up again. It's mm-hmm. like, whoa. Aww, yeah, because there's always, we're always working, right?
And yeah.
It's just like, I love it. I love what I do. It's great.
That's awesome.
But anyway, let's talk about you. So tell me, just tell us a little bit. Tell us who you are, Robin. Tell the people who you are.
Okay. Well, I am the self-proclaimed ambassador of fun.
Right.
And
she's definitely my client because I am happy.
You are very fun and happy. And that was a title I came up with a few years ago, shortly after I started doing Yum's the Word, which I'll explain in a minute. Uh-huh. And I realized that I was creating all of these different types of content mm-hmm. that were fun and mm-hmm. were meant to be entertaining and funny. Mm-hmm. And that can range anywhere from doing very fun videos with my aunt, who's mm-hmm. now 77 years old, and she's very funny, to telling my own stories on stage, which right. is one of my greatest joys and passions. I host a storytelling series called Yum's the Word that mm-hmm. features my homemade ice cream cakes. Mm-hmm. And I play Mad Libs with the audience and we celebrate people's birthdays and I customize all the ice cream cakes based on what these
And your cakes have gotten phenomenal, actually.
Thanks.
And you still make them yourself?
Oh, uh-huh. Every single month. Yes. Yeah. In fact, we had Tim Gunn on the show almost a year ago to the day, a year and a week ago. And he, I later learned, is not a sweets person. And uh-huh. I had made an ice cream cake for him. I asked him what he wanted in it. And that night he took a bite and he's like, Robin, this is positively orgasmic. I was like, can I quote you on that? And so Yum's the Word is really funny. And we have a podcast as well. Uh-huh. And on the podcast, we feature two stories from every single episode. Mm-hmm. Two stories on each episode. And then I feature some interstitial content, whether it's Auntie mm-hmm. Or now my niece Morgan, who's mm-hmm. really funny. And
it's a family affair.
It is. Well, Auntie's the one who used to make ice cream cakes for us growing up. And right. so she sort of indirectly inspired this whole show because right. I realized that I was very passionate about storytelling and I would make ice cream cakes for people all the time. And, you know, for friends. And then I would be like, oh, well, they're probably just like drunk and they just are like, but I mean, I knew they were good. And then I took it to a friend's birthday party in Brooklyn. This must have been in 2010. Mm-hmm. And people were, and I didn't know that many people there, and they were really responding to the ice cream cakes. Right. And I thought, well, maybe there's something here. And so I decided to blend my two passions into this show.
Yeah, but I remember that it was just an idea.
I don't remember talking about it with you at all.
You did. Yeah, I remember.
Forgive me. I have no recollection
but
of that.
But that's my job to remember mm-hmm. when you wanted to, like you said, I want to do this thing. And it was called Yum's the Word.
But right? I wasn't even doing storytelling.
Yeah, but you were doing, because I even came to one of your events where you had ice cream cakes. There. It's just how long you've been doing this thing. This is how.
Well, I've done it since 2011.
But you were doing ice cream because I remember the conversation. But you know, in life, it's an iteration. It's a start. It's a little tiny step that mm-hmm. we don't join the dots together until we actually see the whole thing coming through, mm-hmm, right? Because mm-hmm. I remember talking to you about Auntie. I remember talking to you about, you just coming to me and saying, I want to be a comedian. What did that look like? You mm-hmm. had to create that, right?
Right, right.
But one of the things I know for me, what you got your breakthrough was with Spike Lee. Like that conversation mm-hmm. that you had to call him because he had said to call him. And you were like, you don't remember that? Right.
No. I know what happened. Well, right. I mean, I'd worked with him. So right. I went on my second commercial audition and it was a commercial that was being directed by Spike Lee. And I was uh-huh. like, what? This is terrifying. But I was very clever in the way that I went about getting.
Is this after the fact? Because I remember you had to make calls.
I booked that a month after 9/11. Okay. Literally, it was October 11th, 2001, and then. This is where like the timing is sort of funny to me, because I do remember you like getting on me to be like, call him. And so
you were like, no,
because I met this woman named Janine who was a copywriter there, and she was friends with my friend Judith. And so I went into their office at some point and I was like, can I, because you were like, I mean, even though I had a commercial agent, I was freelancing with them. And you said, well, if you want an agent, you got to go ask Spike Lee for it. And I was like, oh my God, this is so scary to me. But I mean, I worked with them. It was, yeah, you know.
And you did it.
Right.
And that was when you had your breakthrough.
Well, so then I went to Janine and I was like, can I sit, go talk to Spike? At least it wasn't so weird. Like I was coming in off the street. Like that would be creepy. And I went over to him and he was like, do you have your headshot? And I was like, no. And I felt such an unprofessional idiot. And so then I had to call back after, and then I felt so ridiculous of like leaving this voicemail for Spike Lee. I'm like, hey, it's Robin. I played the crazy pregnant lady in that New York Knicks spot. And you told me to send you my resume and headshot and resume. And like, I did. This is like when you would like physically hand it over. And like, nothing ever came of it.
But
I
didn't follow it.
I know, but I was like, this feels ridiculous.
And then fast forward, how long later you actually shoot a commercial with him?
No, I shot a commercial with him first.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my bad.
That's okay. So that was 2001.
It's a lot to remember, but anyway.
It's okay.
So what was it that had you wanted to be a comedian? Like, was it?
I was born. Like, I was always being a dork and a goofball at home, and I was always creating something. So whether I was making up dance routines with my sisters, or I would make my own coloring books all the time. I loved Shrinky Dinks. That was really fun. But I was always creating something. We'd be like, my sisters said not that long ago, they're like, you're like a director. And they said, you would you know, like make us do this and make us play house and make us play school and make us like do roller skating routines.
Them. Yeah. Make them do
they
that.
They
did it because they loved it.
I think so. I think I was being fun and silly back in the day. You know, I had a clear vision on what I wanted to do, but I always felt that I loved making people laugh. It brought me a lot of joy, and I still like it. Even if it's something so, so small, if I can make somebody smile, it totally warms my heart. Right. Because a lot of times what I do is if like I go to a coffee shop and they ask for my name, and I'll say, what's your name? Nobody asks them.
Right. Nobody
and they're
does.
Always like, oh, you know, Brittany or whatever. And they're like, and then it opens them up immediately.
Yeah. So we're going to come right back. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Hi, This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and we're back with Robin Gelfenbein from Yum's the Word.
Mm-hmm.
All right, tell us about Yum's the Word. Tell us how it got created.
Mm-hmm.
What made you? What is about it that inspires you to keep doing it?
Well, I feel like Yum's the Word is a true, full creative expression of who I am. Because there's food. I was raised Jewish and Italian, so like food is kind of central to everything. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of playfulness in the show, but it's also serious at times, even though from the outside, it probably doesn't appear that way. But I take it very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. And every show features four storytellers. Mm-hmm. Mostly from the New York area. Sometimes we have people come in from other places, but primarily here in New York City. And they are all telling stories on a theme that is inspired by ice cream. So I love puns and I love themes. So I have come up with I don't even know how many I have at this point, but just to give you a few examples. So we'll do themes like Rocky Road, Stories of Danger, Chubby Hubby. We have married couples telling stories about each other. My favorite theme to do, which we've only done twice in almost 7 years, is Mr. Softy Awkward Sex Stories.
Is that the one where Tim Gunn, there's something about in one of your write-up where Tim Gunn says something about mature penises?
He talks about matronly penises.
Okay, that's it.
Those were the first words out of his mouth when he was on the show last year. And that was inspired by
matronly penises. What is a matronly penis?
What's not a matronly penis?
Okay.
No, so we play Mad Libs at the show, and so I am constantly calling out to the audience for different parts of speech, and the Mad Libs story that was read that night happened to have matronly penises right next to each other as part of the Mad Libs story.
Okay.
And that was what inspired him to talk about matronly penises. I think he said the first thing he said was, as soon as he hit the stage, he said, "I've seen more than my share of matronly penises."
Because I saw that and was like, matronly, is that like an old penis? What is that?
It could be.
Yeah. I guess it's whatever he wanted to be.
A little more fragile, maybe. I don't know. We didn't probe.
Okay.
So to speak. So then there's the four storytellers. I play Mad Libs with the audience, and then I'm asking for different parts of speech, and if I choose your word, then you'll get some kind of nostalgic candy. So we've given out like candy cigarettes or those little wax bottles. I like to do, so the show's called Yum's the Word, but every fall, I've done for the past 3 years, Yom's the Word, and it's a night of Jewish storytellers.
Okay.
And sometimes around like, the Jewish holidays will give out a bit of honey because honey represents having a sweet new year.
Okay.
So it's just like, it's very fun. And then at the end, and I usually show an auntie video at the beginning. And my aunt is the woman who inspired me to kind of create the show. And she was one who taught me how to make ice cream cakes. And the ice cream cakes are served at the very end. We sing happy birthday to all the birthday guests. And there's anywhere from like 3 to 5 birthday guests per show. And so the way it works for your listeners, if they want to come see the show, the next one's June
21st. You can plug it.
Yeah, the next one's June 21st. And all you need to do is, well, first of all, come to that one because it'll be fun. But the month before your birthday, if you come to the show, I ask for birthdays for the following month, and then you get to choose all the flavors of one of the ice cream cakes, see the show for free, get reserved seating, and then you're part of the show.
Very,
so it's a really fun way to celebrate your birthday because nobody...
Plug the website for that.
So it's yumsthewordshow.com, and we're all over what I call ice cream social at yumsthewordshow. So Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Tumblr, Snapchat. I got it all covered.
That's right. And she's very, very diligent about that. You are one of the people that I know that... Like, how big is your mailing list now?
It's funny because I wasn't sending out very much for my personal stuff. I just sent something out yesterday because I was promoting being on PBS last night. That list is probably like 1,200. For Yums, it's a little bit shy of that. Yeah. So, but I do it all organically. I don't do paid lists. Right. It's like people sign up at the show or they'll come to the site through different sources. Like there was just this whole GDPR thing. Do you know about this?
Yes. Yes.
And so I looked to see if we had anybody in the EU on our mailing list.
Right.
And like, surprisingly, there are people listening in Germany and, you know, in Israel. Okay. I was like, how are these people finding us? So it's kind of, because the web
maybe
is sort
like
of crazy.
Ice cream cake.
Maybe, but if they're coming via the podcast, then I don't. It's weird because there's no ice cream cake as part of the podcast. So
what do you like want for your like? Okay, so you start. This is very organic. This show, I don't script it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's fine.
So you're doing everything that you want to do in comedy. Where do you want to see your comedy career go?
So I'm working on a screenplay about my experience driving the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Right, right. Exactly. Which is Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. And this woman has a lot of Wienermobile songs.
I have a couple of Wienermobile songs. I have a lot of Wienermobile stories.
Okay.
And again, like with food, I'm just like, all I do is create shows around food and comedy, which are, you know, two
really wonderful
things.
Do you know,
really
I've never seen the Wienermobile?
You
I've
haven't?
I've never seen it.
Oh, I wish I'd known.
I mean,
they
I know
were
you
just,
give me a Wienermobile.
They were at my show in May.
They were? Mm-hmm. They love you.
I finagled a bagel.
So tell us the story a little bit, just briefly, about
sure.
how you got to drive the Wienermobile.
Well, you can see.
And this is an actual career.
Well for a
career,
year.
For a year.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If you watch my story that just aired on PBS last night, you'll see the full-blown story of how mm-hmm. I got the job. But they came to campus recruiting mm-hmm. for hot doggers, who are their spokespeople for the Wienermobile. And I was surprised because it's a really, really serious job.
Right.
I had no idea that. I mean, they wanted people who were creative and friendly and outgoing. But also,
did you check all the boxes?
I got the job.
I know.
And I will say that's not an easy job to get. And I don't say that in a boastful way. I just had no idea it was so competitive.
Right.
They were choosing 10 people out of 1,000 applicants the mm-hmm. year that I applied. So I was like, I have to do something to stand out because there's so many people applying for this. And, you know, I had heard some stories at some point. I mean, maybe I'm mixing this up after being a hot dogger, but that people would like go bonkers, like they would do some like over the top stuff.
Right.
So it was a fine line, and yes to what Noreen just said, I came up with some songs. I basically created a self promotional tape. you guys know what a tape is?
a mixtape.
Yeah. And I called it Rockin' Robin's Hot Dog Holiday Favorites. But prior to that, I had a cover letter that was riddled with puns, like a hearty hot dog, hello to you. Like, I was all about the puns. And I was like, everybody's going to do that because it's so obvious.
Right.
And then my resume was totally catered to the job. And I was bragging about my impending BSS degree in bologna sandwich skills
right.
and my excellent driving record, which obviously is relevant. So I created this cassette because I was like, that's not going to be enough. So I created this cassette called Rockin' Robin's Hot Dog Holiday Favorites.
Right.
And I drew a Christmas tree with little hot dog ornaments on it and a menorah with little hot dog candles, which mm-hmm. is so unbelievably sacrilege. And then I went into the studio. I went to school at Syracuse University, and I was like, I don't even know how to use some of this equipment, but I'll figure it out.
Right.
Because I'm pretty resourceful. And I was like finding instrumental versions of like Winter Wonderland. So
right.
one of the songs I created was Oscar Mayer, do you hear me? Wanna be in that weenie? And then I was like, I can't just do Christmas carols. I got to represent my people. So I wrote another one, and it was Robin Gelfenbein, Robin Gelfenbein. That is my name all the time. This job will be mine. My shoe size is 9. I'm Jewish, but I dig on swine. Yep. And so I sent that stuff off, and I went through like the first round of interviews in Syracuse. They
and
came.
What were some of the weird things that people did to get this job? What was one that you remember?
Well, I wouldn't say it was weird. It was actually really creative. But just to give you a sense of timing as well. So we had an on-camera interview. So I made it past the first round, obviously. Well, obviously, I made it past
this
all the
like
rounds.
This is like a big deal. Like, this is a big deal interview.
Yeah, I mean, because you're representing the company, and this is before the web, so this is their only interaction with customers. So you're the face of the brand, and they're not going to send like some, you know, somebody who's just going to be like goofing off, which ultimately was my partner, which is what makes it for a great story, because I ended up traveling around the country trapped in a fiberglass 23-foot-long hot dog with my complete opposite.
Did you have to sleep in there?
No. Everybody asks that. It's so funny. It is not a Winnebago, technically.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. But anyway, just to back to your question. So there was an on-camera interview portion because they wanted to see how you would do for interviews.
Right.
And I'll tell you what I did because it was over the top. It wasn't so over the top, but it's just funny. But one of the other people, not when I was there, but somebody who ended up getting hired that year, did a presidential debate between Ross Perot and Bill Clinton as to which condiment is best on a hot dog.
Right.
So he was imitating the two of them. I mean, one guy had made, I think it might have been the year before, but he made like this like scale model Wienermobile. I thought I would razzle dazzle them with some more songs, which I wrote was to the tune of the Bare Necessities. Mm-hmm. And then I also brought my tap shoes because it's job interview. And I was so mad because I felt like I had prepared as best as I could, and I did not factor in that there would be carpet in the conference room. So I get to the door and I'm like, oh my God. All day I've been like practicing in the bathroom on the tile. I'm like,
right.
I got this.
Right.
And then I get to the door and I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm freaking out. So the cameraman's there and he's sort of like this Dilbert lookalike. And he's just like, whenever you're ready. I was like, could you pan down to my shoes so they can see I've gone the extra mile? I lift up my shoes so they can see the taps. And then I like start dancing. It's right. Ridiculous. Like I'm doing all this stuff, which would be impressive if you could hear the taps.
Right.
You know, I was doing wings.
But they know what tap sounds and they can make it up.
Yeah. I was really mad because I felt like I just totally sucked and they hated me.
So we're going to hold that thought because there's more to this story when we come right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
All right. So we're back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And we're listening to Robin Gelfenbein talk about her experiences with the Wienermobile. And that is Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
That's right.
So tell us, you're at the interview. There's carpet on the floor. You have your tap dancing shoes on and there's no clicking.
Right. And I like stick the landing. You know, I'm like, wah, you know.
Right.
And I get no response from this guy, and I just thought, you should be impressed. Like, can I get a tiny bit of applause? But there was nothing.
Right.
So, I mean, now I understand. I mean, he's watching 40 candidates do all this crazy, these crazy shenanigans in front of him. Of course he's going to be like, all right, next. So, but then you'd think I would stop there, but I was not, I was very, very determined. And, the guy who I had to impress the most was the Wienermobile manager and AKA Top Dog, Russ. And he was like a former Army sergeant, really stern. He breathed like Darth Vader for some strange reason. And I get to his door and he's like, you know, greets me. I'm sitting as close as you and I are sitting right now, which is mere inches. And he asks me a series of questions, which of course I answer. And then I ask him some questions, including, did you have a chance to listen to my Wienermobile demo? Because I thought very highly of Rock and Robin's Hot Dog Holiday Favorites.
Do you still have that?
No, I was so mad because I, as you know, like I created a whole solo show about driving the Wienermobile.
Right.
And I contacted Russ and I was like, do you guys happen to have it? I thought for sure I had made a copy and I'm fairly certain I did. I looked all over my parents' house, could not find it. And Russ did look for it at Oscar Mayer headquarters because they did hold on to that stuff for a while and he couldn't find it. And I so wish it had turned up because to have that audio,
it's priceless.
It's comedy gold. Really. So I go in and I meet with him and I am terrified. And I knew because I had been told he's extremely intimidating and he was. He was so intimidating. But I, yeah. So I, that was going to sound like I'm snoring. But I was like, this is my last shot. So I said, did you have a chance to listen to it? And he's like, and he opens his top desk drawer to reveal my tape. And I'm like, and then he's like, oh, my God, he knows my work. And he's like, I haven't listened to it. Oh. And I was like, well, if you want, you can listen to my Walkman right now. And he's like, that won't be necessary. And then I said, how about this? Why don't I...
Walkman. That is a musical device before the iPad.
Oh, yeah, right, right. See nice. These foam things on the microphone? These were the foam things on our ears.
Yes, they were foam.
Very similar, yeah, except they're orange. And
was it a Sony one?
Yeah, Sony
was it
Walkman.
Yellow.
That was like the fancier, like
I had
sports
the yellow one.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a gray one that required probably just one AA battery. And yeah, so he I was like, well, if he hasn't listened to it, there I was like I came up with a few more that didn't make it on the album. And I sang to him in his office, sitting as close as you and I are sitting right now. And I sang the first song. It was another holiday song. And I said, I can't remember what
Let me get close.
I should have brought
Let me get close. Go on demonstration.
Yeah. Well, no, he wasn't that close. But I mean, yeah, just back off 2 inches. That's how far away he was. And I had, you know, like my little portfolio, my legal paper. And I still have that. I kind of wish I brought it because... Well, it doesn't matter. But anyway, the last thing I sang was, I'm going to have this job before I'm dead. No, sorry. I sang something and he didn't respond. And then I just was like, I'm going for the second one. And the last thing I sang was, I'm going to have this job before I'm dead. And he said, I was like, I don't know what that means. And I like flew home, cried the entire way. I was like, they all hate me. I made such an ass out of myself. How, you know, and it was a time when like the economy was in the toilet and I just was like so upset. And I just, yeah, I just was like, forget it. And then.
But what do you know now? You know, like now that you did everything that you could do, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Shamelessly.
Sure.
Like really like committed, because mm-hmm. that's like you were committed to getting this
massively.
Job. Right?
Mm-hmm. I believed it so wholeheartedly. Right. My dad kept saying to me, because he's an accountant, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And I would right. say, Dad, I'm going to get this job.
Right.
Like I believed it so much, but then there was a part of me that really doubted it.
And what part was that?
Just the insecure part. I didn't think I was creative at all, which is so
even
hard.
After all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And my friends in college were like, what is wrong with you? How could you not see yourself as a creative person?
Right.
I was just like, I'm not.
And today?
I'm wildly creative.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But now that I like look over my life and I see things that I created when I was a kid, like I was talking about at the beginning, coloring books, like of course I was creative. I was creating stuff all the time, and it brings me, I love it. I love making things,
right?
You know, and it's very satisfying. And also I mean people ask me how I get guests like Tim Gunn, and I've had Jason Biggs on the show and Joy Behar, uh-huh. and it's because it's one of the reasons I got the Wienermobile job. I have massive balls.
Right.
And I will
I like to say we have massive breasts, right?
Well, that
men
too.
Have balls, but like we give life with these things.
Look, I call mine Laverne and Shirley.
There's power in these things. They give life. They create.
They do. That's right. True.
So that's true. Why
well,
I say no
you
balls.
Got the whole dairy story
that's
continuing
right.
here.
Ice cream.
That's what I'm saying. Don't worry. I don't put breast milk in my ice cream cakes.
Frozen pops.
I don't even want to go there. I wouldn't want to eat that. But yeah, I mean, I met Tim Gunn on the street.
Uh-huh.
And I met Joy Behar by going to a show and uh-huh. talking with her beforehand. And I just
made the request.
Yeah. And I do it in a way that's just not pushy. You know, I try to make it about them. The ice cream cakes are always a good hook. People are like, what? They're so intrigued by it. But it's specifically ice cream cakes. Like, nobody does what I do.
Right.
So it's unusual.
Well, you don't really see ice cream cakes anymore, to be quite honest. I haven't seen one in a good while.
Yeah. And what I make is unlike anything you've ever experienced.
But what if you're lactose intolerant?
I have lactate pills at every show. Every single show. It's on my card, even. It says lactate pills at every show.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I've made gluten-free cakes. I've made dairy-free cakes. Yeah. Full service.
There you
go. And sometimes, like, so each cake has two layers of ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And that's up to the birthday guest, unless they want to leave it in my capable hands. And they'll say, surprise me, which is fun for me. And my favorite flavor base is to put donuts as a layer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've made candied bacon, maple bacon ice cream. Yeah. They're very intricate.
Very creative. So tell us about...
Oh, and we name the cakes, too.
Oh, you name them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Give
mm-hmm.
us a name.
One of my favorites is whenever... well, two. There's if I do like a mint Oreo one, I like to say... We change it all the time. I mean, I can't believe I've come up with so many names over 7 years. We crowdsource them too, but mint Oreo Speedwagon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I did a salted caramel truffle ice cream a few years ago, and the name of that one, which I did not come up with, but another former hot dogger did, was Nobody Knows the Truffles Ice Cream.
Oh my god,
he's really good at puns. What else? I mean, this one, sometimes they're dirty. You
okay,
know?
Give me a dirty one.
If there's one with caramel, I'll do like caramel toe. Yeah.
Caramel toe.
Yeah, I don't hold back on any of this stuff.
That's good. I like
my
that one.
My more favorite ones recently have been if somebody asked for like crushed pretzels or anything like that. A few years ago, remember when Chris Christie got knocked out of he was like really vying to be Trump's running mate.
Uh-huh.
And so we did one that had Chubby Hubby ice cream and I forgot what else, but there's pretzels in that. And so we called it Chris Christie's Crushed Pretzel Dental Dreams.
Aww. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're very punny, funny.
And present.
Yeah. Yeah. We try to keep it current.
That's right.
You got to do it.
Okay. So tell me, you're on the plane, you're home now. How long before you find out the results of the...
I think it was a good month because, again, like this was really before the web. So I had to wait for a phone call. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, I was getting other rejection letters from like Bugle Boy Jeans. You remember Bugle Boy Jeans? I mean, and the economy was in such
disarray.
Yeah. That I was going after anything, but my heart was really in a hot dog. I've never actually said that.
Your heart was in a hot dog.
Yeah, I've never said that.
So what was it like? What was it like that moment that you get the call from the wiener?
I mean, I cried. I screamed. I was truly blown away. I couldn't believe it. And
you could believe it, but you couldn't believe it, but you could believe it. It was like a dream come true.
Yeah, but I honestly, like, I was so down in the dumps. Like, I really couldn't believe it. And it's interesting because, so Russ came to see the solo show when the Wienermobile solo show.
Hmm? Yeah, Russ Top Dog.
Russ is Top Dog, yes. He came to see it when I did in Chicago. This was 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like just before that because we had been in touch. And we were in touch a bunch, like as I started working on the show. I adore him. He was a really wonderful boss. I mean, tough, very, very tough. But he had to be. He had these like 22-year-olds driving around on these million-dollar vehicles all over the country and not really being able to monitor them like they can now. You know, like there's GPS and there's social media. Like then it was just like if somebody maybe happens to have a disposable camera in their car that they're like, you just didn't have the same ability to communicate. And anyway, this really blew me away, even like so many years later. And he told me that I was their top choice. And that just like leveled me.
Well, all that hard work.
No.
So what would
I learned later. I'm like, oh, people don't work as hard. You know? Yeah. It's kind of hard to believe. I was always around a lot of overachievers too. So like at Syracuse, I was in the Newhouse School, which is their communication school. And then being with Hot Doggers, they're all overachievers with the exception, and Jason, you know I love you, with the exception of Jason, my partner. Jason told me he just wanted to travel and get laid when he got the job.
And did he?
Oh, yes.
Was he good looking?
Not to me. Uh-huh. But I could see why women would be interested in him. I was like, he is my coworker. We are professionals. I am not hooking up with him. And my sister was like, he's hot. How are you resisting this? I was like,
ew.
To me, he was not my type at all. And because I worked so hard to get that job, then I was like, I'm not.
Wiener was your type.
Yeah. I aim higher, bigger.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
that's like okay. I've used that. I try not to repeat.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and we're talking to Robin Gelfenbein, the founder of Yum's the Word and Ice Cream Cake. I love, you know, we just talked about the different names for the ice cream cakes, and one of them was Caramel Toes. Loved it.
Yeah.
Now, when I see camel toes, I'm going to think of caramel toes.
See, that's good. You transfer it to ice cream.
Oh, she's got a camel toe. I'm going to think, oh, she has a caramel toe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he has one.
Yeah, it might be a little sticky, though.
Oh, my God. All right, so I just wanted to ask you a question. So somebody that is going for a job that they want, right? Mm-hmm. Would you advise them to, like, just go all out shamelessly and just do it? Because what my experience is that people are afraid of really putting themselves on the line. Because they don't, one, they don't want to be rejected.
Sure. Right?
A lot of people don't want to be rejected. And two, they just want to look good. So what would you advise them to do?
Well, I think it depends on the job, because there is definitely a fine line with going all out. Because you can, you know, like, when they have characters, remember when people... on American Idol, they would feature certain contestants who would do something so outrageous, and then it's like they're the butt of a joke.
Right.
That's not what you want to do. You want to find like the right balance. So I think it just depends on who you're going after. But the way that I approach really everything that I do is to be unique and memorable.
Right.
And if that means like, I mean, because I think no matter what you're pursuing, you want to do something to stand out because it's showing who you are, who you're, what your personality is. And you don't have to go like be silly and fun. Like if that's not who you are, don't do that.
Right.
But this is what I love about storytelling. It's like you figure out like what is special about you, what's different about you that will help you stand out. Mm-hmm. And then I would say like ride that, you know, and even if it's like thinking about it from, because now people apply for jobs differently from what I did back in the day. Like, even the subject line of your email, like, don't be afraid to take a risk. Right. Because if you don't, you just, like, I'd rather take a risk than not and then wonder, like, how come that didn't happen for me? So, I'm a big fan of, like, you really want.
If you were to look at yourself now and say 5 years ago, would you honestly, because my thing is own your voice, speak your truth and live life your way, right? You create your life however you want. So between now and like just say 5 years ago, how would you say that you own your voice?
I think I've really embraced my voice, like literally and figuratively, because I've created this show that is unique and memorable. It totally embodies who I am. Mm-hmm. And aside from like the silliness with the puns and the playfulness and the ice cream cake, which is all things that I love. Mm-hmm. My bigger thing is that I really want to connect to people.
Right.
And so at Yum's the Word, I try to create an atmosphere where it feels like we're just hanging out in my living room. And that's why I do so much interaction with the audience because you would interact with me in my apartment. And, you know, back when I was growing up in high school, I would always be, I'd say puns back then too. I loved wordplay. I always have. I'm a writer. And my friends would go, oh, Robin joke. And I still tell Robin jokes to this day.
Right.
I just have a little bit of a better sense of humor where I know like a really bad pun versus a really good pun.
Right.
And I love it. I embrace it. I mean, I remember years ago, this guy who I was really interested in said to me, you know who you remind me of? And I was like, no, you know, expecting him to say somebody really like beautiful or talented and funny. And he's like, Phil Dunphy.
Who?
Phil Dunphy. Phil Dunphy is the dorky dad on Modern Family. He's played by Ty Burrell.
Right. I think I know who that is.
Yeah. You guys know who I'm talking about? Yeah. I mean, I love him, but like, if you're interested in a guy and he's like, you remind me of this dorky dad from television, part of me was like, I'll take that as a compliment. The other part of me was like, damn, we're never going to sleep together.
You're not going to sleep with Phil Dunphy.
Yeah. I'm like, and scene. I just cock block myself. So, yeah. So, but I love it. I'm like, I totally embrace it. And in fact, at the show, I'll open with like, who here is pro pun? And, you know, you hear a response from the audience. And then I say, and who finds them pun bearable?
And everybody goes, you know,
and I don't care. You know, I just don't care. I'm just.
And
like,
was there a time that you did care?
Maybe for like a second. Uh-huh. I think I've always like really loved that dorky side of me, which is a huge part of who I am.
Right.
But I also feel like, you know, having been a writer for so long, my writing is much stronger. Mm-hmm. And I feel really confident in front of an audience, like talking to you. Right. I love storytelling so much, and I love sharing like pieces of me mm-hmm. with an audience. So whether it's like stories from my life or something funny with my aunt or whatever it is, you know, just like
one of the things I liked. I remember you telling me this years ago that you were the only Jewish girl at Christian Camp. Right.
Oh, at church camp.
Church camp.
Yeah.
So you do you've created a whole scenario around mm-hmm. that church camp. She's even got a song that goes along with mm-hmm. it as well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just think you're incredible. I've always thought you're incredible. Sweet. And I've always thought that you were funny. And I do see greater things for you.
Thanks.
And you see it for yourself also, right?
I totally do. I mean, and I do want to say that I want to credit you so much with helping me get to this point.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's true that. Because I was so afraid for so long, and you pushed me to do things that I did not want to do at all.
But we had partnership, like, even though we were on the phone.
I know.
I had your hand, you had my hand.
Even before I was making ice cream cakes, we built a connection. And yeah, I mean, I think about that a lot. I mean, not a lot now, but like back then, I mean, I even have this, can I swear?
Sure.
On the back of my door, I don't know if you knew about this. On the back of my door, I had a post-it note that's still there somehow. It's all curled up, but it said, fuck the fear.
Fuck the fear. That's right.
And so when I was starting to perform, because I would do things in a safe way all the time. I would take like improv classes at UCB and then do a class show. And that was just like, that's enough. But I knew it wasn't. It's like, I have to push myself more. This is so important to me. And because of you, like, I would want to really kind of pick and choose who I invited to shows. I never wanted to invite men. And you were like, I'm going to challenge you to invite guys. And I was just like, they're going to make fun of me. You know, like, I was so terrified. Mm-hmm. And
that's because you were bullied in school.
Yeah, I was really horribly bullied. I was bullied in high school, but I was also by guys. And then in college, it was almost 60 guys. So it really did a number on me. And that's why part of the reason I wanted the Wienermobile job so badly is because through college, I lost sight of who I was because I was living in fear. I always say I was in my own self-imposed witness protection program. Mm-hmm. And so I had a lot of regret my senior year.
Right. I want to say that, like, with you, you have a lot of humor.
Yes.
To your self-expression is humorous. But, like, my mother is Caribbean. She used to say, what is joke to you is death to me. So, like, it's kind of like you're saying these things in joke, but really, like, it helps you to release the pain of what you're dealing with. And that takes power. That takes being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And you're opening up, you know, even with the ice cream jokes and the puns, you're opening up space for other people to really take on being themselves. Mm. And even this conversation today, it's like, you know, from whence you've come, right? You didn't just show up here, right? You are... you've taken on your life and you're taking it on bigger. And I remember we created this conversation that we want to get you on the Ellen DeGeneres show.
That's so funny.
And I still see that happening.
I can see that.
You can see it, right? You can see it now. Before it was like,
But well, I think it's also because I've worked with so many celebrities at this point, and I'm just like, yeah, sure.
Right. And when you first came, you wanted to be a comedian, but you wanted somebody else to dictate how. But now you're creating your own thing.
Which I think is the only way you can do it, frankly, because, there's all the tools are there for you, too, with, like, YouTube and Instagram stories and just, like, the social. There's just so much access.
So what would you say to somebody that is wanting to do something that they know in their spirit that they can do, but they're afraid to take the steps? What would you say to them today?
I would say be clear on what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Take like one small step every single day,
mm-hmm.
getting towards that goal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe declare it on social, mm-hmm. so that it makes you accountable.
Absolutely.
And just as much as you can, just try.
Right.
You learn by trying things.
Take a risk.
Like, yeah. I mean, when I started doing Yum's the Word, I did it in one way. And then I was like, that's not working. Let me try this. Let me try this. Let me try this. And, you know, people will say to me now, like, you don't even have to really promote it anymore. I'm like, yes, I do. They're like, it's a successful show. I'm like, yes, thank you. But that's because I work at it every single mm-hmm. month. You know, it's not just people will just show up because it's happening again. I mean, maybe there's
what's the audience like now?
In terms of like the makeup of the audience?
Yeah.
It's fun. I mean, last week it was really exciting. We were listed as three things you need to know on May 22nd. We were number two on that list. And so we had a ton of people come as a result of that. So I would say our audiences range from like 20s to 50s. And it's all different kinds of people.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, part of that is like, you know, producing a solid show and a reliable show.
Right.
And the other part of it is just me nurturing my relationships with my contact over at Time Out and just getting to, you know, word getting out about it as well. Okay. And being like professional. Having
so just plug quickly because we have to sign off. But so just plug your email where people can reach you, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So for Yum's the Word, you can find us at yumsthewordshow.com and all over social at Yum's the Word Show. We have a podcast by the same name and Tim
Yum, Y-U-M apostrophe S.
That's right. Yum's the Word, right? Show. I teach storytelling workshops if you're interested in storytelling. I do keynote speaking and I like to give speeches or do public speaking. You can also find me at robingelfenbein.com. I was just in a commercial that I showed Noreen before we started. And my story was on PBS last night. So all that good stuff. I'm on social too, Robin Gelfenbein.
Cool. Robin, yeah. I could talk to you all day.
Totes.
But we have now to end the show. And so we're just going to say goodbye.
Bye.
Jazz hands. Bye, everyone. See you next
Bye.
Week.
Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, this is Bruce Chamoff, host of The Web Design and Technology Coach. Join me and my guests every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. as we discuss the latest in web design, social media marketing, search engine optimization, and technology. We also discuss popular topics, including WordPress, making money online, better Google rankings, and more. Every month, we also feature the best unsigned music from around the world, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.